Hey everybody, how's it going?
Good evening.
We are. I'm surprised that we're streaming tonight. we didn't. We weren't sure if we're going to.
Well, I mean, we rarely skip, so you know.
And we skipped a couple of weeks. Last couple of weeks.
I've been home less than an hour.
Once again, in a unprecedented move. We have Game Dave with us 2 weeks in a row.
Keeping the top spot.
Yeah.
you are a defining aspect of the MAGFest experience, so how can we not have you here?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm proud.
Exactly. We roomed with Dave these last couple days.
Yep. It was good. It was fun.
Yeah.
Red carpet night, according to Tyler Lucas.
Wait, yeah, Christ. We bought a lot of games, talked to a lot of people, played some Mega Man stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And laughed at Vines and maybe had too much to drink here and there. But it's okay.
Yeah. Well, not us. Just try.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, right.
Well, with David Wise, we'll talk about that later.
Probably. Yeah, yeah. So we thought it would be fun to just kind of go through like things that we all bought, and then I will play some random SNES games on the SD to SNES. So hopefully that sounds like a good. You know, diversion from AGDQ and the Golden Globes.
Feel like we could talk about pickups for like longer than we would ever realize. But
you know, we'll see what happens.
Well,
all right. Well, who's going to start? Are we going to take turns? What are we going to do?
You go ahead and go first. Because you had probably why don't we just kind of sure? Why not? Maybe. I mean, we'll see.
Okay, well, I've got this. This is my game travel bag, an old GameCube carrying case. I actually came with this bag mostly empty. It is pretty heavy now. So there are actually a few things in here that did not come strictly speaking from MAGFest. Corey had previously grabbed a copy of Secret of Evermore for me. That was sold to you for $15, I think.
Crazy. Yeah. It was. Yeah. I mean, I had this stuff for you for a couple months now.
Yeah, I forgot you had this Bit Trip complete for me, Ray, for me, and this Super Monkey Ball 2, which was one of those games I needed to reacquire. And
hey, Ryan's here.
Let's see. You had also previously got this NES Rampage.
Rampage. For exactly as much as it goes for. It was not a deal or anything.
Yeah. And probably the crown jewel of the grabs that you got for me previously is Run Saber for the Super Nintendo.
Let's see that price tag on it.
The price tag says $79.99.
but you didn't. It was overpriced.
It was sold to you for $25, which is still probably less than 50% of the going price. But $80 was ridiculous. But this is a very good game. It's often compared to Strider.
Yep.
But I like it a lot better. It's co-op. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. that's the extent of the pre-MAGFest grabs. Got at MAGFest, my first grab was Wild Arms 5.
One of the last ones
yet to play. Unless I get Ultra Code F, and there's a PSP strategy game that I think I've heard is pretty good. This game came in a bigger box. And I years ago had intended to get that, but you know, it's kind of weird because it doesn't have a logo on the spine. That doesn't particularly bother me, but it is complete with a manual. It was $50. I didn't realize that, you know, without the big box, that this was going for that price. But I checked eBay, and this was on the lower end of what you could pay for this game. So I thought, I guess I'll get it. We still got a deal. They actually, it ended up costing me $45 because Dave.
That was Dave our Dave really well, the early deals. Dave, we had some bigger ones later.
Yeah. That was an early deal.
What did we bundle?
Yeah, it ended up. You bundled Legaia 2 with that.
Oh yeah.
And then that was you back.
That was at the place I tried to get Third Strike from.
Oh, that story. I went back there today. We'll talk about that too.
So I also helped Dave get a bundle, and then he paid me back for the deal. You know, the more you can put in one bundle, you know, the more likely you are to get a crazy deal.
Bundle, your best bundle, man.
Yeah, this was a big bundle, and we got a steeper discount than we ever dreamed we would actually get. Wonder Project J2. For N64, which I've got the first Wonder Project J. They're sort of I don't know if point and click adventure is the sort of thing, but they've got really cool graphics. They just look really neat. I haven't played the Super Nintendo. I've tested the Super Nintendo one. I haven't played through it yet. But one reason I wanted to get this is there's a few. I want to test some translation patch stuff with this game for upcoming episode.
Right. The EverDrive Alternatives episode.
That's right. Mm. This is marked 15. It's actually worth way less than that, like loose. Like it, 10 or less, really, is what this game should cost. But the guy we bought it from, we've bought a lot of stuff from him in the past, so he, you know, he has some deals.
Yeah.
So the price on that is not necessarily reflective of what I paid. And this is YY World 2, which is you know, it's a fairly common-ish game, but it goes for about 30. And this is sort of a Konami Superstars game. I don't have the first YY World. The gameplay is like totally different in them, and I think this one just looks a lot more appealing to me. But you play as like Konami Man is like the main character, but there's also like Goemon.
Konami Man. It's just Konami Man.
Is that his name? I think it's Konami Man.
Konami Man.
I think that's his name. Goemon, Belmont, the baby from BioMiracle, several other other characters are playable in this. It's just a kind of a cool platformer. So
would that be used in an upcoming episode? I'm sure it will be.
Yeah. Also this, you know, I'm actually kind of surprised this is like the most expensive thing I bought, because I thought like I actually went under my budget. This is people call it Kirby Superstar Stacker. I have no idea why the Japanese name is Kira Kira Kids, but this is the Super Famicom version of Kirby Star Stacker. For the Game Boy, which is a puzzle game I really like. And it was only released in Japan. It's the only, other than the Satellaview mini games, this is the only Japanese exclusive Kirby game. It was marked 60, which actually is at least $20 under eBay price, which was kind of crazy. I believe that this same cartridge was being sold at too many games for 80, and I guess it just didn't sell. Mm-hmm. So this was marked 60, and since we bundled things together, I guess you can functionally say I got it for even less than that. So I got a crazy deal on this. And me being a big Kirby fan, you know, this is actually a really cool thing to add to my collection. And I kind of didn't intend to get this game. I was like, well, I'm just going to get the American games. Like, there's no sense worrying about the Japanese exclusives, but I got it anyway.
Wait, is that so with that, do you technically have every Kirby game now?
Yeah. Unless you count the Satellaview games, which, right. I mean, there's no real, like, if I think there's maybe three ROMs missing still for that, they haven't been recovered. Like, if someday those were all recovered and, like, put on, like, a repro cart or something, that's, like, the one repro cart that I would probably, like, really want to buy.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty crazy that was, like, really the last Kirby game.
Yeah, and like I said, I considered my collection complete already, but that's kind of like, because I had the American stuff, but I kind of consider that like the icing on the cake, definitely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was it for Thursday, I guess. Now on Friday, you know, supposedly this game isn't very good. It's Dino Stalker. It is a Dino Crisis light gun game, but I don't care what people say. Like, how bad could a light gun game be?
We've been kind of after that for a long time. We've almost bought it several times.
Cheap. And it felt cheap. Like... It was $10.
Yeah, very affordable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, you know, come on, Dinosaur Light Gun game? I want to play that.
I think Capcom, we turned it down for $11 before when I was there.
Yeah. I also, this is for some technical things that we want to test out. I grabbed a Super Nintendo Game Genie. It was $15 with the book. There's a few, I don't think I'll say what, but there's a few things that we want to test out with this, that may play into a future video. I was afraid I was missing something. You know, when I got to my car, like I didn't realize it. Like this top flap was unzipped.
I couldn't believe. And your frame meister and everything was missing.
No.
And your RGB mod.
That's the other bag. the flap on this bag where they had all the games in it was open. I couldn't believe it, but nothing seemed to be missing. I don't know how I had left that open. the last bit of yesterday shopping around, I got Pilot Wings. I'd sort of seen this. It was in behind a case that all the games were stacked vertically, so you couldn't see the front labels, but they all had price stickers on them, but Pilot Wings didn't. It was near the bottom, and I was like, I used to have Pilot Wings. I liked it okay, but I liked 64 so much more, and it was just something like, yeah, I didn't love it, you know, so I'm gonna sell it. But now I'm like, now I like want to reacquire a lot of the stuff that I sold.
When you saw it in the EverDrive episode, were you like, you know, maybe I should get that again?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've played around with it with
it's,
a friend's
copy. It's got a
good
soundtrack, a I think.
Yeah. It does, and maybe I'd appreciate it more now, you know.
Yeah.
I asked the guy to get out, you know, and I thought, well, maybe the price sticker's on the front. He gets out. I see this is like a super, super good looking car. It's like maybe the best looking copy of Pilot Wings in existence. I say,
ever.
I say, that's like, I say, this is like $10, right? And he like pulls out his phone. He's like, $10 is fine. I think that is what it's worth, you know. Most places will probably try to get a little more out of it. I don't know. And then lastly, if you remember, I got a Sega CD a few months ago, and there just so happened to be in the tray a copy of Soul Star, which has left me with a, you know, I've never, you know, for cartridge-based systems, I prefer to enjoy the savings and just buy cartridge only. I'm not concerned about getting complete unboxed for those. But for disc-based systems, I have to have the case.
Gotta have it.
But You know, well, now that I've ended up with a disc-only Sega CD game, you know, I might end up making some sort of custom cases or something. But I thought, you know what? Why don't I just be consistent and, you know, enjoy the savings of disc-only Sega CD games? So I saw a copy of a game that I know Corey is a big fan of, and I do enjoy FMV games. So
I'm a really big fan of this game.
I got Road Avenger.
You know, did you know I bought Road Avenger at the first MAGFest we went to?
You're kidding.
No, I'm serious. Mine was complete in box.
How much was it at that time? This was 25, which seemed to be a good deal, actually.
I wouldn't even be surprised if it was right around that amount.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like that was a good deal.
Yeah.
Good-ish deal.
It's an amazing game. It's amazing. It's like, I mean, sure, it's just like a, you know, if you like Dragon's Lair and stuff like that, but it has the best intro song of any game ever made.
Of any game ever made. Now that is a lofty statement there.
That is a claim. That is a claim. So I think that is. Oh wait, one more little thing. I did get, as is tradition, I got Bit Brigade CD for the game that they played last year. I always buy their CD for the game that they played at MAGFest the previous year, which they did Ninja Gaiden last year, which was super fun. For people who don't know who Bit Brigade is, they're a band, and I've seen them at, I think, every MAGFest I've been to except the first one I went to, and they have a guy at the front of the stage playing NES games on a CRT, and it goes through a projector so that we can see it, and they play on, you know, guitar and drums and I don't know. I'm not a musical instrument person. Bass or something.
Guitar, drum, bass or something. It's like one of the lead guys, the bass player.
I don't know. I don't even know who the people are, but their music sounds cool. And they play through the game, and they play a modified ROM of the cart that doesn't play music, just the sound effects. And the band plays the themes of the game as the guy goes through the game. It's just a really fun way to watch the game and listen to the music. And so last year they did Ninja Gaiden, which is cool because it was really neat. Like, you know, they playing the music for the cutscenes and stuff in this game live. Like, that was a lot of fun. And they, you know, some of these games they played through in about an hour. This year they actually played three games that they got through very quickly, back to back. They did Castlevania 1, which is a game they'd done before. And it fit this year's MAGFest theme, which was Castlevania. And then they also did Batman and, most importantly, I think perhaps, DuckTales, which were both games that they had never performed publicly before. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it's cool watching them. I think I saw last year. I didn't go this year because we were
a little busy.
Yeah, we're a little busy.
we all went last year. I think we all were there. It was great. It was my first one last year.
Yeah, and then the year before that, I think it was Zelda.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what they did before that. Maybe Contra. I don't remember. What did they play this year? Try.
It was Castlevania followed by Batman followed by DuckTales.
That's cool. I mean, that's. It's impressive to beat all three of them in those in an hour.
Yeah, especially Batman, because that's a lot more technically demanding of a game to get through that quickly. You know, with all the wall jumps and stuff. So.
Oh, Daniel Greenberg says that the performance is actually on MAGFest's YouTube right now.
Already, wow!
Yeah, they did a much better job of getting the panels and things like that posted on the channel.
I was surprised because it looked like, you know, I didn't actually confirm it was a live feed, but I assumed it was. You know, they had these TVs set up throughout that had like what looked like a live feed of the concert hall, like with multicam switching and stuff like that.
Really? On the kiosks and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I assumed it was a live feed of what was going in there right then.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you're right. I thought about it, but I didn't
I'm
really
not,
pay
I
attention
can't
to it,
sure,
just like in
yeah.
passing. But yeah. So that's it. So do you feel like
that is it for me.
Do you spend more or less than you were expecting to?
I spent less than I was expecting. I had some money as gifts for Christmas, and I actually, you know, my intent was I'm going to spend all of that, and I actually spent a little less than that. So
feels good. I'm proud of myself.
Yeah. So it was, definitely not necessarily what I expected to pick up, but that's usually kind of how it is.
Yeah. That's what I think is so much fun about going to something like this without any real expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's certain things I was kind of on the lookout for, like if they had. I've recently fallen in love with Cotton 2 on the Saturn, and I'm like, I really want to get that. And if they have it, I'm going to buy it. But of course not. I guess it's hard to find. It's like $150 or something.
I did go back and check because one of the ones I was looking for was Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Right.
I've been looking for that for a while, and they did have it at the save point. They had two copies, but they weren't in mint condition. And, it averages $100. And then there was a $100 one at another place. And sure enough, I went down today for my last check, and it was gone. I asked if they still had it. So I should have just bit the bullet and made an offer on it Saturday. But I was cold feet. I was trying to get a better deal on Sunday.
For those high price stuff, you know, you usually wait till Sunday.
Yeah, I like to wait. Yeah. So there's only a couple games got away from us this year, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean the one I was back and forth on was Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. They had a copy is like really nice. It's about $70, and I want it because it does 240p. I have the PS2 version, but it's 480i only. So. The person had, it was $70, and they also had a copy of Mega Man, the first Mega Man.
Yeah, which I'm looking.
Right, that Dave does not have.
Nope, I do not have Mega Man 1.
And it's crazy.
4 or 5.
1 or 5 are the ones that you don't have. The 1 is like, I feel like a necessity.
Oh, Erica, I got to interject. Erica said, oh, hey, Dave, thanks. I couldn't get the hug nukuru out of my head from the last stream.
did anyone here watch either us and the 8-Bit Duke play Rockboard with Game Dave and me and Corey play Mega Man 3 while we were at MAGFest?
That would be awesome to hear. Hopefully they...
Anyone catch the Mega Manathon stream?
We'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, if not, we can look out on the Twitter. I can link people to the two specific segments.
Check the Twitter.
Oh, you already have the archive?
All right, checked. Also, I would like to, I hope that he makes some highlights so that we can post it, like link it to our channel somehow. Like last year, I know that he made the highlights of specific games. But he never did our X2 run last year. But maybe Mega Man 3 is a little bit more high profile, so maybe that'll go on their site.
Okay.
Dave, you want to go ahead?
Sure.
Oh boy. Oh, this boy. This pod goes deep.
Gets it.
See, it's important for you guys to go first because mine is like not nearly as exciting.
Well,
you've got something pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting in retrospect, you know. Like,
so, as we already said, I got Legaia 2 with Tri's little deal. Saved $5 with our little bundle. Not a particularly good game. It's more of one that I have nostalgia for from when I was younger, a little bit younger.
Did you play the first one?
Yeah, I did not fully play that. My best friend when we were younger, he was obsessed with them in high school, and I would watch him play them, and I was always like, yeah, those don't appeal to me at all. But yeah, so I kind of got them in honor of him. Dual Saga, Legaia 2. Well, I'll tell you, the other bundle I did with Tri was the pretty big import bundle with the Kira Kira Kids, as they like to call it. Finally got a boxed Super Game Boy 2.
Ooh.
It was a good. We got a very good deal on this, and it's still got the plastic and everything. We obviously it wasn't really $50 in the end.
And you're really big on getting it with the box.
Yeah, I'm very big on getting import
extra,
stuff.
A little extra money for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely up for that. And then, of course, there's this Mario clone.
What is it?
It is SD F1. SD, of course, a lot of imports use that SD moniker to mean super deformed. So it's a super deformed F1 racing game. It's very much in the style of Mario Kart, and it's part of the Formula One Grand Prix series. Go figure. It was a little spinoff that they did with these super deformed animal characters, and I'm really excited to compare this to Mario Kart. It is the closest clone I've ever seen, and I've gone through many. I've gone through about six different supposed Mario Kart clones in my collection, and this one appears to be the closest competition. I reviewed one on my channel, which was Street Racer, which you guys played when you were at my place for the stream,
right?
From mm-hmm. Two games, and
rough game.
Yeah, it's close, but it's just not very fun. Street Racer, when you start playing, if it looks like, oh, this could be good, and then you start playing and it just kind of, it's not there. But I think this one has potential. So those are those imports. I did get another PS2 game. Let me see here. Don't mind my reach. My secret stash here. I got Bouncer from a fella named Marshall. Awesome guy. He always likes to hook me up. And I got Bouncer, you know, amazing, one of the best beat 'em ups ever made. That's what I've heard from the internet. It's just Square's best beat 'em up, is what they should say. But hey, you know what? It's four players with the multi tap. So
that's pretty cool. Really?
Wow.
A lot of people don't realize they know it's two players, but it's actually four players, and there is a versus mode. So you don't have to.
I think people were just really upset to get a short game from Square, but I mean, I remember playing it back when it released, and me and my friend liked it too.
Yeah, not
terrible.
Did
you beat it? And
have I beaten it?
No, try. Did you beat it?
I know. Is it simultaneous co-op? If it is, then I probably did beat it. I couldn't remember if it was simultaneous or not.
Oh yeah, it's got to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I guess I did beat it. I must have.
And Marshall just happened to also have a pretty pristine copy of the guide, which I won't need because it's a beat 'em up. But I just, it's that thing of, you think Squaresoft, it's like, oh, you got to have the guide with it. You just have to.
How thick is that guide for it? I mean, it looks like it might be, it looks like it's almost as thick as some of the guides, maybe. Well, the RPG guides.
It's pretty thin.
But it's thicker than it probably ought to be.
Right. It's not, I mean, if I'm looking over there, it's like, I'd say it's about as thick as the very poor Final Fantasy IX.
That's what I was gonna guess.
Players Final Fantasy IX. Style. But again, you gotta love the Bouncer because, I mean, come on, right there.
Is that like on his jacket?
Or something?
Yeah, it's on the back of his jacket and his shoulder. I think you can see it actually at the bottom there. You kind of see it. It's on the back of his jacket. Yeah. So the Bouncer, lay Bouncer. All right. What else? We got a couple other guides from the same fella. Star Ocean Till the End of Time, which is a much heftier guide. And I just like guides. I mean, you fellas know. I like mm-hmm. to collect the guides. And then there's this one, which we were in the hotel room because Tri had gotten Wild Arms 5. Awesome. There's only one Wild Arms game that I don't have, which is the remake / ruination, as some people might say, of the original. And it's Alter Code F, which is very expensive. I don't have it, but they had the guide. And I need to double check, but it seemed like the guide was kind of worth some money. And the guide was, I mean, I basically got this for $8, all said and done with the abundadu. So I'm pretty interested to see if the price on this is up, because I would much rather have the game. But you know me, I say that, and then I'm not gonna sell the guy.
Yeah.
So
you could though. You could.
I could. I probably.
Maybe
should.
You should. Maybe you should.
Maybe I should.
But will you?
No,
but will you?
There's one other gem hidden gem that I picked up from Marshall.
Hidden gem.
I'm sure
it's a hidden gem. We'll see.
I didn't pay for this. I did not pay for this. This was basically.
Dave wants to clarify. He did not pay for this.
No money was exchanged for the classic, renowned Hooters road trip.
Rated T for teen.
T for teen. Now it's only T for teen. So I mean, it's the bouncer. Same rating. Can't be that better. Hooters, gas up and buckle in for some good old full throttle action as you bust out on a white knuckle rally race across Hooters USA for the ultimate prize, a chance to kick back with the fun-loving Hooters girls, Hooters USA. Thank you for listening.
You sure that one wasn't...
He got it for free.
It was free.
I don't believe that for a second.
Corey's like, I think you overpaid. I think you paid double.
Probably at least $5. You wouldn't be able to say no even if it was $5.
No, it was listed at $8.
He's like, so, you should have this.
He probably should have paid me to take it.
He's like, this will never sell.
Dave does like to grab the random what the heck is this games.
Especially for PlayStation 1, because there were so many PS1 games that you come across things you just never would have expected. You know? Let's just say it's gonna be very difficult for an author to make an ultimate guide to the PlayStation and cover every game. Let's just say that. Yeah. A certain guidebook maybe in the future. These other games.
So that was just day one.
Right, that was just day one. No, so these other games.
Some of it might have been day two.
Yes, it was a little mixture. But my friend Ryan of Ryan's Video Game Corner, check him out. He was there. He's always at MAGFest, running around in a wolf costume at some point. He brought a big box of games because he may be, you know, clearing some things out, needed some cash. So I was like, well, let me take a look. So here's some things I got from him.
And keep in mind, after Dave bought this stuff, he was like, you know, I can't believe I didn't buy anything today. And then he's like, I bought that stuff from Ryan, but I wouldn't really consider me that buying something. I'm like, no, you bought that stuff.
It's true. I didn't buy it from the vendor floor.
Right. He still bought it from somebody at MAGFest.
Oh, yeah, I definitely bought it. But he gave me an insane... I told him, I was like, what do you want for these games? I didn't make an offer. I was like, whatever you want, I'll just pay it. Because I was more, you know, just trying to take them off.
This is the one time Dave paid the asking price.
Yep, the one and only time I paid.
I think you did pretty good for considering.
Yeah, yeah. So I got a couple, you know, some common things. So I wanted the triple cart, Mario Duck Hunt and Track Meet, which I did not have. Picked up a complete DJ Boy, which
of course
was ridiculous. It has no screenshots on the back.
Nope.
I wonder why anybody bought it.
Street Smart.
Look at that cover.
Yep, starring Mario Lopez.
By Treco. Trico? Treco?
Trico. Trico. That's Last Guardian. And this one's for Corey, a little Street Fighter 2, even though he prefers the SNES version.
Yeah, the sound in the Genesis version is really awful.
Yeah, but I feel like I should have both to compare, you know? And it was complete. I love... There is no good Ren and Stimpy game, but I like to get them, because I was a Ren and Stimpy fan as a kid, so I got Stimpy's Invention. This is a good, and this will come up with Corey's pickups at some point. Batman Returns on the Genesis, to go along with my Batman Returns on the NES, which I got at Too Many Games, I think, this past year.
Yeah.
Virtual Fighter Kids, we got some Saturn. Virtual Fighter Kids, Baku,
which is a puzzle game.
Mm-hmm.
Which I never knew was released in the U.S.
Bug. Oh, sorry. Bug. A little explanation. And the old Johnny bazooka tone.
Yeah. Look at that. That's look at the afro.
And it includes
like perfectly coiffed.
The title track featuring Richie Sambora and Tico Torres from Bon Jovi, so you know.
It's really?
Yeah. Yeah, the title track is featuring them. And the last one was probably the main gem. A complete and very, very great condition Rocket Knight Adventures.
It's got the hang tab and everything.
And what do you mean probably the hidden gem?
Probably.
Or not hidden gem, crowning jewel, whatever you said. I don't know what you said.
The crowning jewel. I didn't actually get Batman Returns from him. I just kind of put it in the stack. But I don't know, man. When you've got bazooka tone. No, you're right. It's the big one.
Yeah, that is a big one. I feel relieved that you have it.
Yes.
I worry for people who do not have Rocket Knight Adventures in their lives.
Yeah. And I think those are people who just may not buy for the Genesis or Mega Drive. It's very like
it's one of the must-haves for the system for sure.
Now there were a couple more from Ryan, my buddy Ryan. Some of those Genesis boxes, I think Ren, Stimpy, and Batman were not from Ryan. Those were actually from another seller. But a couple more to go here. These are the rest of the Ryan games. We got Risky Woods, which I know nothing about.
We don't know what it is, but it's an interesting title.
Yeah, 1992.
Interesting font, too.
Yeah, Electronic Arts. It's, you know, it must be good. Look at all that cartridge.
No, they're all like that, though. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. Zero Tolerance.
Look at the size of that cartridge. Now, that one is one that is known to push the power of the system a little bit beyond its limit, yeah.
Full power
beyond its limit, so it crashes it.
Well, it has that bigger cartridge.
Another little gemmy gem.
I
always said Rystar.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think I'm inconsistent.
You say?
I say Rystar?
Mm-hmm.
I think I say Rystar. I don't know. I think something different pops out of my mouth every time I say it.
Now, Erica said, are any of you going to Retropalooza in October of 2017? That is, I mean, what do you think, Corey? Maybe.
It's a definite maybe. I mean,
it's a definite maybe to think about, because we did hang out a little bit with two of the people involved, so we'll see.
Yeah. If you really want us to go, be sure to, like, post on their Facebook, say, like, you guys got to get Game Dave in My Life.
You got to get Game Dave in M-League. here's another winner, Brutal Paws of Fury. And Tom Mason's, this is very specific, Tom Mason's Dinosaurs for Hire.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I know nothing about that, but I love the cover.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs shooting guns, it seems like you could hardly go wrong with that.
And finishing it up here. I know, you'd think it'd be over.
Now, you have some stuff that I haven't seen.
That's possible. Got Micro Machines on the 64. Turbo, Micro Machines Turbo.
Oh, I don't think I'd know if she get that. Or maybe I did. Yeah, I think I did.
We got Fantastic World for the Famicom, which we...
That was the first thing you bought.
Save on it. It was a little funky. Then we got Two Game Genies. I got the... Game Shark. We got the Game Shark, the last release...
Yeah, 3.3.
Yep.
3.3 with the plug-in. And this was from Ryan as well, the Genesis Game Genie, which would be interesting.
It seems like a good thing to have.
And this was from our good buddy Lynn. She gave me the English instructional Popeye game, because you never know when you might want to learn.
Yeah, I actually didn't realize that Donkey Kong Math is part of a series that was released of educational games that was released on the Famicom. I guess Donkey Kong Math is the only one that made it over here. Is that correct?
That's what it appears to be, somewhat like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also picked up a 6-button Genesis controller. I think that we believe this is the last.
Yeah, it's the last. It's the one that came with the Genesis 3.
Yes, it's the very last. Which I do have a Genesis 3.
Yeah, and mine came with two of those controllers. I don't like that controller. I like the original six button.
Yeah, it's more than that.
What's the difference?
Smaller.
Well, it's smaller, and like the D-pad, it feels really big. Like it sticks up really far.
Yeah, so you can kind of see.
Oh wow,
it's pretty up there. I like it because I always felt like the Genesis controller, I didn't feel like the D-pad was moving. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can understand.
And that's
that.
Like I always felt like my movements weren't getting received, but I feel like I'm like, oh yeah, it's getting it. But there is a little bit of travel, so you know it's tricky. But everything else,
you're
feels
like, oh
good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now this we also got, I just released Mega Man 6, a review on my channel. Nostalgia.
YouTube.com/game Oh yeah, that too.
Or YouTube.com/game and they had
or NostalgiaVision.com.
NostalgiaVision.com. They had this, I don't want to get it out, but Mega Man 6 wall scroll. Which was
what
kinda,
the heck?
Yeah, what of all the things to have a wall scroll.
I mean, and they not only that, they happen to have at least two other types of wall scrolls that were Mega Man 6 specific.
Yep.
And there was literally no one at that convention except Dave who wanted to buy Mega Man 6 products.
I was the only one looking for them.
And it's exactly, you know, you talk about that. You say that was what you thought Mega Man was on the cover of 6 because that was the first one you bought.
Red rocketing Mega Man. I was like, yeah, that's the first one I had. I was like, oh, yeah, this is Mega Man. And I was very weirded out when I started playing the game. And it's like, well, that's not, he doesn't look like that at all. They're way off. Until I got the rush jet.
Why is he blue?
Why is he blue? Also got, this was towards the end, right as I was leaving.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about this.
Another friend brought out the old Year of Luigi poster.
Nice.
For me, just gave it to me, which was awesome.
I've got that framed and in my entryway.
That's how you know how good it is, the Nintendo Club. Yes. And lastly, I think this is it. I think this is the last one. Unless I didn't go through all my bags properly. Another friend of mine, Josh Friend, ironically, is his last name. He said, hey, let's go to my car real quick. I got something for you. So we braved the cold. As you guys know, it was insanely cold today.
True. Yeah.
It was like a wind chill of 1 degree. It was quite a walk. He was way out, and it's called like the Panda Lot or something ridiculous like that. So we walked all the way back to his car, and he pulls out this bad boy.
TV Golf?
What?
TV Golf for the Super Nintendo.
Oh, wow. That's
what?
I didn't realize it was a Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, that's complete. Pretty, that's... I also did not know that there was a Super Nintendo version of this released.
You gotta do like a video on that.
Yeah, I like the weird big sports-related controllers or fitness-related controllers. So, yeah, we've got the only video golf game with swing, is what it says. Bottom there, so
I'm not even aware of this. You say you didn't know there was a Super Nintendo version. Is this like a arcade or bar sort of game, or what's the deal?
Genesis, I believe, was the
Genesis,
the more well-known version.
So this is a motion-controlled golf game with a plug-in accessory.
Yes. So I don't know how well you can see this. I might be able to give it the old focus here. So if we move this here, getting there.
There we go.
You see, you put this little thing on the bottom, and that tracks the little honking short club that you swing over it, and then it just hooks into the television. You know, that's how we all have them set up.
Yeah, you just set up with, you know, say not big cloth.
Yep, matching the table, over the table. Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting little hookup there.
Yeah, I had no idea.
A little how?
No idea.
You might say. So yeah, that was almost everything. Because then, sorry to take up the whole screen.
But then
we thankfully, Corey, got me and try to come down for the Panzer Dragoon music group Akane. It's Kobayashi and Takahashi. Kobayashi of Panzer Dragoon.
They did the music for Panzer Dragoon Saga and Orta, not one and
two. Right. And then Takahashi, who actually did the vocal work on some of the Suikoden music. I'm still trying to confirm exactly which one she did, but it seems that she did some Suikoden 2 stuff at least, which definitely is what she sounded like.
The presentation said Suikoden 2 and Genso Suikogaiden.
Suikogaiden, yes, which makes sense because a lot of the Suikoden 2 music was arranged for Suikogaiden, so that makes sense. But they were there, and of course, like, hey, you know, the vocalist for Akane, which is their band, just happens to have worked on Suikoden, so we booked it there. I saw the end of the panel, and then we went over for the concert, which was in the jam space. There was not many people there. I was very upset that there weren't more people there because it was awesome, especially the first two songs they did, very Japanese folksy, and that was awesome. And I was like, I'm buying all their albums before we leave here. I'm doing it. So I went to the Rock Island area, and they have four. And I waited. I looked at them, couldn't tell which ones because they had this weird production label. And I was like, okay, which ones are theirs? So I just got an idea of them left. And then much later, our buddies from HD Retrovision, Stee of HD Retrovision, said, oh, yeah, I just picked up the albums. And they're down there, and he showed me what they were. He got all but one, because one of them he wasn't sure if it was the right one, and then much later he realized, yes, that is them as well. So there were four. So he showed me the ones he got, and I was like, oh, awesome. So I went down to pick them up, and I was like, yep, I'll take those four. And he's like, ooh, sorry, but only three of them are still in stock. The rest are sold out, and I was wrecked because you can't get them online physically. But the three I was able to get were Terra Magica, which is actually Kobayashi's solo, which Corey pointed out to me. But Takahashi does appear on it.
Yeah.
Which is good, yeah. And then we got Influx and Journey, which is their newest album, I believe. Right, Corey?
Well, Terra Magica is the newest one.
The newest one. Well, this is the newest Akane one.
Yes.
That has that band moniker. Right. So the other one I did not get was Koche. But the next day, today, I was like, no, I'll just pop over, just see what's going on. You never know. I was like, hey, do you guys have Koche? And they're like, yeah, it's right here. And I was able to get it. So it worked out. I got all four. I was super pumped. Nothing else mattered at that point. It didn't matter that I got no other games today.
Yeah, I was impressed. It was good music. I'm looking forward to playing Panzer Dragoon Order now, but I have to place Panzer Dragoon's Phi first. So
yep, you just beat the first. I just realized the two things I'm going to show are in the other room. So you guys talk for a second. I'm going to grab some.
Yeah. I just beat the first Panzer Dragoon like the week before Magfest. So that was that's sort of been a long time coming. I got it probably 2 years ago, and you know, I tried it out, loved it. I was able to get about as far as the end of the fifth level, and the boss was really hard, and you know, I put it off, and I just put it back in last week, and took maybe three or four attempts, and I did it.
It's not bad.
You know what else isn't bad, considering all the things going on right now? We have over 110 viewers.
It's crazy, right?
That's awesome.
And we're not even playing games right now.
You just love your faces.
I guess so.
Yeah.
All right, my turn. Mine is not nearly as exciting.
You got one pretty cool grab, though.
Yeah, I guess.
This still will surprise a lot of people, I think.
Yeah. So the first thing I get was I bundled it with that. What was the Famicom game that you got, Dave? The Forbidden something.
Oh, Fantasy something too.
Yeah, the blue cart. The blue
Fantastic World!
Fantastic World!
Point.
So this was the first thing I got. I just had to get it. It was cheap, and that is that's the Famicom version of Karnoff. Look at him.
Yeah.
Look at him.
You know, it's pretty goofy, but I do have to say that I actually prefer the American artwork quite a bit. But it's like just something you should have for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, Hey, it's right there. It says Karnoff. All right. So, like, that was the first thing I got. The second thing is probably, like, the biggest thing that I actually got. And it's kind of, like, unknowingly big. Like, I had a hint from, I'm at, like, part of this Facebook group, and there's this guy going after a complete PS1 collection. And recently he posted a picture of him saying, like, I got this one of the more rare games for the system. And when I read that, I filed away in the back of my mind. And then when I saw it sitting there, and it was like $25, and that was the it's the jewel case version and black label version of Doom for the PS1. I guess it's like it rarely shows up on eBay. The last one that sold on eBay was like $250, like $257. But other than that, if you try to look in older auctions, like, there's none. Like, that's the only one.
Is it good condition?
It's amazing condition.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I guess this is, I guess it's rare. And if I hadn't seen that post in that group on Facebook, I would never even considered it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have even thought about it.
I feel like that would be a hard thing, too, for sellers to research, especially when they're going through so many other games. Like, it would just be a very difficult thing for them to realize what the value is unless they just knew. And it seems like it would be an obscure thing to know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they just didn't know what they had. I mean, because there is a Greatest Hits version. Mm-hmm. There's a long box version because it was, it came out so close to the launch of the system. And just this, the black labeled jewel case version.
You do have to wonder, I guess there's a small possibility that the disc itself could have somehow ended up being swapped with the Greatest Hits disc, but there's probably no visible difference.
Well, the Greatest Hits disc were always silver.
They have a different color. Yeah,
well, they're
they
silver, that. Oh, thought, and it's like, this is like fully just, full color label.
Okay, I thought that was just a square thing.
Oh, the RPG ones, yeah, because you can definitely see it on those.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about those, not the silver bottoms.
No, we're talking about how the top has that kind of, that reflective.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
I thought that, I've avoided Greatest Hits PS1 as best I could, and, so I haven't seen a lot of them, just square stuff.
Technically, the Greatest Hits ones would be more rare because they don't become Greatest Hits unless they sell so many, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So there would be less Greatest Hits, actually.
But this probably got kind of a retroactive Greatest Hits because since it was originally a long box.
Yeah.
Amsay is right, though. I mean, not all of them are silver because Symphony of Night has a black disc.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, I'm going to hang on to it anyways, because I've heard that a lot of people think that this might be, like, the best console version of Doom, because it includes, like, Doom 1 and 2, pretty much, and, like, a completely different soundtrack, and all new 24-channel stereo sound effects, and all new ambient lighting effects.
Everything you asked for.
Yep. All right, so after that, we were kind of looking at that place, at the same place that I wanted the Third Strike from. And that, they had a couple of things.
Mega Man 1, which I don't own. I don't own Mega Man
1. And you were close.
Yeah, I went back and it was gone. It was gone.
Yeah. So I was there and I was thinking of I'm going to look at some other stuff. So this was a rebuy for me. And it's something that I wish that I didn't get rid of my original copy. But I mean, I got it because I got the trilogy, but I wanted to get this back, which is the original Metroid Prime. Now, the only reason I got this is because this is the initial batch that allows for the sequence breaking. You can get the space jump immediately after landing on the planet, on Talon 4. And they made that impossible in later revisions. You can jump on the back of your ship and sequence break it. And you can tell, I looked it up, the numbers in the inner circle, on the bottom of the disc. It matched up with what it's supposed to be, which is like the DOL GM8E-0-001 USA. And that's like the one that you want to look out for.
Now you know.
Tony Hayden, you should talk to Dave about that.
Tony Hayden, you would, are you trying to be my savior over here? Don't make me, I will mouth hug the heck out of you.
Dave has a history of having difficulty getting those odd-numbered Mega Mans.
1 in 5, man. They mess me up. But it's okay. Corey's going to hook me up with a Famicom one, maybe.
Yeah. Speaking of Mega Man, the other one that I got, and this was another rebuy of something I had before, which is just the Mega Man Zero Collection.
Mm.
I had this before, but, you know, there's a point where before the channel, I sold a lot of stuff that... I didn't have a lot of aspirations to really just sit down and beat it. So, all right. So that was day one. Day two, I kind of got something that's a little odd. As you know, we have the downloads on disc series. So, this is something I got. It's a new release. It is something that it was released in Japan on disc only, and it's in full English. And I've been kind of following it for a while, and it's on Amazon. You know, you can get it. It's the same price. And it was just like, you know, it's right here. I'm just going to do it. And that is a Caladrius Blaze. It's an overhead shooter.
Now, is that game released digitally in the U.S. or
you know,
not?
I have no idea if it was released digitally in the U.S. Will you look that up for me?
Yes. The same seller had, I didn't notice it until you pointed it out, but had a copy of Persona 5, which is just like a super weird, surreal thing to like actually see in real life. I'm like, hey, there it is. It exists, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like, they also had the, when you have the stuff like right in front of you, like I think that I almost bought, until I decided to look on Amazon, it was half the price, was the Sayonara Umihara Kawase for the for the Vita, which I showed that to you, and you went and bought it too.
It was
$22 on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, I've got the download code for the U.S. version, and it nags at me because it's the one Vita game that I got digitally.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's like okay, that kind of makes me feel better getting the physical copy.
Right. The other thing that they had that I almost got, and you know, I've had it in my Amazon wish list, is they got a physical version of Beyond Two Souls and Heavy Rain compilation for the PS4 in the UK. Oh. So I'd eventually like to import that along with, I don't think they had it there, was the infamous First Light expansion.
Yeah, I want to get that too.
I mean, this is all stuff for like further downloads on disc episodes. But I popped this in for a minute and tested it. It's pretty good.
So I just looked it up. Caladrius Blaze was released on August 9th. And, you know, it's actually the kind of expensive for a game that is, a digital download only, at least in this region, is $30.
Really? I just love the name, the title. Just sounds.
It was it was released on the on the PS3. That's right. You know, Jimmy is saying like, what's all the last gen ports? I guess this one includes all the DLC and stuff that they released. It did have a patch when I popped it in, but it's just misspellings in trophies.
Mm-hmm. You got to have the trophies.
Yeah, but I mean,
and misspellings.
I mean, it's a good. If they're gonna patch anything, it's like very minor, you know. So that's the only thing I got the second day. Third day, I had a little bit of money left over. I wasn't finding anything. So the very end of the day, when Tri was getting the Road Avenger, you know, there's that booth had recently come into a very large lot of games, and man, they had a copy of Snatcher. It's $500.
Oh, yeah.
And Pothole Mail is $375.
And it sold.
That one was sold, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of those games sold.
But that, that Snatcher, that's like my holy grail, the Snatcher. And it's something I used to have, which is so stupid. I wonder if I never sold that, what my holy grail would be.
Have you ever played that on an actual Genesis?
Yes. I played it on an actual Genesis the day it came out in the U.S.
See?
I had it from day one.
OG Corey.
Yep. All the way back there.
He's the real deal. He's the real deal.
I mean, like, I played Metal Gear on the NES, so I didn't know who Kojima was. But, you know, well, like, yeah. I knew that it was by the same person because Metal Gear is in Snatcher.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a number of other Sega CD games. And I kind of, like, you know, I was like, a couple of things that I just didn't have. I got Chuck Rock 1 and 2, which are, I've beaten the first one. I'm going to show really quick. I'm just going
to describe that game to me. And it sounded interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he just uses his stomach as like his attack and stuff.
It's hilarious, I think.
Yeah,
like kind of a side thing. Kind of a side thing. I'm just going to kind of show it since I have these in them right now. If you have a public library, a lot of times they will have CDs that you can borrow, and they come in these nicer kind of cases. And they sell their CDs every once in a while, and I bought a whole bunch of them because they were 25 cents, and they come in these cases that are like DS size game cases or DS size CD cases. So I've been putting my Sega CD stuff in there, and I can probably get a DS template and make it a Sega CD one, and I could put my Sega CD games in these. You know, it's not just like a jewel case, but I can have like the spine and everything. Like, yeah, it's kind of a, if that's something you're interested in, check out your public library because they might have these.
And maybe, you know, check out a book.
Yeah, yeah. And the other rare thing I got after. What?
I was just asking, Rare Foil in the chat asked why I got a Rhea for my Dreamcast when you and Corey say you prefer playing with the original games. I first of all, I don't know what that is. I assume it's the SD Media Launcher. And second of all, I didn't get one, but I don't know where you got that. But
oh no, he's talking about the Rhea or the Rhea is the old version of the Saturn one, and the Phoebe is the new one. The Phoebe gifted to the show.
Yeah, I'm actually personally kind of interested in SD Media launching for disc based consoles.
Yeah, if you can just rip your own games. You know, That's
yeah, fine. I feel like that could ultimately really need to be the future of the systems. I'm interested in dabbling in it, but I absolutely, want to play the real discs as long as the systems and the discs will hold out. But and if I did go that route, I wouldn't do anything with them but play my own rips and, you know, and homebrew stuff. But anyway, I am actually interested in that. But no, I didn't. I did not get that.
Yeah. The other thing, I got this when I bought the Chuck Rock 1 and 2. They gave me this for free. And it's something that, you know, it's kind of shocking that I don't have. And it's Sewer Shark. Like, I just didn't... It was a disc only.
So clarify that to me, because I was actually not even aware of this. And it seems like it's probably common knowledge, but it just shows how disconnected I was from Sega back in that time. That was a pack-in game?
It became a packing game later on.
Okay.
Like with the Model 2.
Okay. Well, I don't even know anything about it. I'd never heard of it. What is it?
It's a full motion video shooter.
Oh, okay. I can be into that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's a full motion video rail shooter, really. First person kind of rail
shooter. We know Corey likes the rail shooters, so.
Yeah. And you know, like it's kind of like the acting is corny but fun. And you know, it's just something I didn't have. So and finally, the last thing that I bought was a complete in-box Batman Returns for Sega CD.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, and that was like the end of my money. That. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was kind of eyeing it the whole time. You know, I think it's so funny that, you know, that it doesn't... You know, it's so focused on the driving. I guess there's even, like, the default way to play the game is, like, skips over all the Genesis levels. Like, mm-hmm. It's just a driving game. You got to select a completely different mode. What I think is interesting about it is it has a little... Does your Does the Genesis one have this? It has like a official Batman hologram thing on here, kind of like a seal of approval type thing. You know, like if you have, if you get like a sports game, how it has like the NFL logo.
Yeah, something specific when it came to those Batman, because I mean the Batman Returns on Genesis has the same thing.
It's an officially licensed Batman game.
Yep, and so does my Batman Returns NES as well. Has that same.
Oh, it does. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, they were very big about that.
Batman approved.
Yeah. And the last thing that I got, you know, this isn't really a pickup, but I thought it, I think it's awesome. I got my Panzer Dragoons order signed by the composers. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Kobayashi.
Yep, and that was the that and that. That's it. That's all of it.
It. That's it all.
Well, yeah, we only had a couple. That only took over an hour.
It did. You know, we talked about.
You know what?
I expected nobody that. Left. I fully expected that.
Nobody left.
Nobody left the whole time.
No.
Well, no. Great. I mean, we were up to like 135 at one point. And like, why aren't these guys playing anything? Where's those random SNES games that they're promising? And I'll switch over to
that. That's the second part.
I'll switch over
to it. Do it.
Yeah.
I can find my.
We should play the games that got away. like Great Battle 5.
Oh yeah.
You want me to?
Yeah.
You're darn right. Rub it in. I guess what? I think one of our I guess you would say friends of the shows, I think they bought it. Because right. I saw a little tweeter do
from a tweeter one do?
From a Mr. Joe that we all know, who does a little show same game. Same.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think he bought it.
Hang on, let me.
Really? He bought that cart.
I think he did because, yep, MagFest pickups, and I'm looking at his MagFest picture, and there is the Great Battle 5, which I was really considering getting it.
Yeah, wow.
I think he got it.
It's a unique looking game.
Yes, very. And
so what is it actually called?
The Great Battle 5 with a V.
But I mean,
the.
Okay, so it's just going to be, is it English, The Great Battle 5?
Let's hope so. Yeah, The Great Battle 5 is actually on the cart, so I'm hoping so.
And there is a 1 through 5 on the Super Famicom.
Yep, and I have been watching an auction for them, which now everyone's going to go snipe from me. But no,
it has like Ultraman, so there's like some like
Kamen
Super Sentai or you know whatever you call it Tokusatsu,
yes.
Sort of crossover okay, so it's, going on.
So here's what I have: Great Battle Gaiden 2, Great Battle 2, Great Battle 3, Great Battle 4, Great Battle 5.
Great Battle 5, yeah.
Jimmy, Great Battle 5 was 60 at MagFest. The cartridge was the label was a little dirty. But it was, and we had never heard of it. None of us had ever heard of it. And we boot up a video and we're like, what? This looks like Wild Gun. You know,
it takes place in 8030XX.
But so there's more to it than just the Wild Gun style gameplay.
Yeah, there is some side scrolling beat 'em up stuff.
And it looks like the other games are primarily beat 'em ups. Is that right?
Yep, correct. With a different theme, it seems. Jimmy would know more. But, Jimmy said a complete in box copy goes for $100 over there.
Oh.
Ooh.
Which is still cheaper than a complete in box copy on eBay. But the game, yeah, it was selling for 60 loose, which I felt was a little high for one game, for one grain. So.
Man, I really want to watch this, but I like gotta go to the bathroom, so you I'll go. Be back.
We'll hold down the fort for you. now, Corey, of course, knows that's nothing new from Try this weekend.
Yeah.
he is a bathroom going fool, but yeah, it's just I mean, look at how freaking cute they are with their little Western guard.
I'm gonna be this guy. Yeah, listen.
I feel like I want to retweet the episode and be like, come look at the game that got away. Because I really want it. I want it bad. And there's three auctions I'm watching right now for it, and they look okay, and they're a little cheaper. But I don't know if Jimmy's going to hook me up.
Holy cow, this is like exactly like Wild Guns.
I told you, man. I mean, how does it feel? I mean, obviously we didn't get a chance to play it, but does it feel good?
Yeah.
The control's good. It's co-op, obviously. It's a little busy.
Yeah, like the ground right here is like a little.
Mm-hmm. But so you are Ultraman, correct?
Is that who I am?
The cowboy hat, right?
Oh, there's two people with cowboy hats.
Oh, whoops. Well, I can't tell. I'm not sure where you're at. I'm a little on the delay there. Tony said the same thing. Is that Ultraman?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you must be the main character right now, the blue-haired fella, right? Is that who you
are? Okay, yeah, it is Ultraman. I see his face now looking at
us. Yep. Yeah, I think Ultraman looks awesome in this game. Which is funny, because the Ultraman game for Super Nintendo, not great.
Oh, yeah, that's a launch game, wasn't it?
It's definitely older. It's pretty rough. Pretty rough. Yeah, Ultraman just looks awesome. I guess it's... Is that supposed to be a shotgun that he's using? I don't know if you're there right now with him, but yeah, like, he's just the way... Just the graphic work on them. Just that... It's that SD. It's the same thing as the SDF1 game. It's that SD style, super deformed. They just look awesome. I don't know.
Leon, this is not a hack. This was a Japanese exclusive game.
Yep, Japanese exclusive.
I didn't die. Did I die?
Great Battle 5.
You cannot double jump when you just do a jump.
Oh, okay. A little bit. So we'd say harder, or it seems like there's less going on enemy wise though right now.
Yeah,
I just saw the failure to save.
Oh, is that what it said? So I have to kill this thing then. Got it.
Oh, apparently Happy Video Game Nerd talked about the Great Battle 5 in his Wild Guns review.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. He's a big, big Wild Guns fan. He did a really good video on Reloaded.
The old skeleton fighting
SF. SFFF. But he says it in the videos and then he's like,
yeah, yeah. But yeah, so I might, yeah, just seeing you play it now, I'm like, okay, I gotta get this game. So Jimmy,
If he can
get me a complete in-box copy for 100, I think I'd do it, because the only one on eBay is 300 complete. So
really?
Yeah. There's only one copy complete, it's 300. But I think there's only like four or five. There's only like four or five copies of the game online on eBay at all. So not seeing very many.
Are you regretting not getting it though now? You wish you'd gotten it just
now? I'm not no, because I see, because there's that set of them.
Yeah.
Still overall be cheaper to get than just the one, and it would be nice to see the progression of the series. You know, that's just how I am. I like to see how they progress, even though this one's the most probably worth it. Definitely the one to play. And I actually found an eBay lot of Great Battle 1, 2, 3, and 4 that doesn't include 5, so if I find 5. Jimmy said, yeah, 100 bucks plus nudes, so I guess... Done and done, Jimmy. Tony said that's too much. It's too much. See, Tony's got my back. My new BFF. My new BFF over here. But yeah, I'm super pumped to play this myself. If I had never drive, I guess I could have.
I beat the first level. Oh no, geez. Another boss.
Oh no, geez.
Oh geez.
This is pretty intense, like. Full on.
Oh. Man, oh man.
Yeah, I got that boss. Oh, I just saw the new boss. He's got some lips on him. I don't know what's going on. He's a weird boss. Try is missing an amazing thing right now. Oh man. Why? Wait, did Ultraman have a skeleton?
Oh, am I gonna die?
Get shot.
Yeah. Oh. It's not like Wild Guns where you just like... Uh-oh.
So it's
uh-oh.
Not easy.
Hang on. Sorry, hang on. Let's see a minute. Sorry about that. I don't know why I just crashed. Sorry about it. We severely need to upgrade the OBS Studio.
Oh, you guys still aren't on OBS Studio yet.
Yeah, we're using like the earlier version. Will you type in the chat really quick that it'll be back in a second? It just like it crashed. They should be seeing it now.
So I guess the audio didn't get interrupted. That's good.
Interesting. Sorry, because I just started it.
Boss so strong he breaks the fourth wall, Lucas said. yeah, it looks awesome. Like, I'm kind of pumped.
I'll see if I can beat this level and I'll play something else. Yeah, ask the chat if they have any recommendations. Or I can just ask them right now. I just say, does anyone have anything they'd like to see me play?
Oh, you missed some good stuff, my friend.
All right, what are we learning about Great Battle 5?
It's awesome, and boss fights are intense.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, as you can see.
Yeah, I'm watching right now. It looks like amazing.
Yeah, I have to get this game. You know, so, this would be a great first game for Super Famicorner. Spoilers.
You know what?
How many entries away are you from?
Hang on a second.
It's very likely single digits.
Oh, yeah?
You know why I think it crashed OBS is because I think that this cutscene right here, this boss, it's like it's 480i. 480i.
Does it look weird on your PVM?
Yeah. I mean, look at the reticle here. You can tell. It has the interlacing.
I see it. Yeah, I saw the interlacing.
Oh, wow. But I think it's only part of the screen, maybe.
No, it's the whole screen. It's definitely... It's 480i. Crazy. So I wonder if it's going to... Hang on. I guess I'm going to try to... I'm going to back out. Cause see if it's going to crash. It crashed it.
Wow, that we have
again, and we'll be right. Should be back.
I think they said they could still hear us, though.
Remember?
Oh, crashed the whole stream.
It crashes OBS. Because you know how.
Oh yeah, you've had trouble with that.
The resolution changes. Yeah.
That is wild.
That's why I think we got to upgrade to Studio.
Yeah, so they can still hear us. So apparently, it's time. It's time to move on.
Yeah,
but still.
Yeah, awesome. That looks awesome though. Did you ever get to any of the beat 'em up gameplay, or was it all the wall gun style?
Yeah, first level.
Yeah, I'm not gonna play another one. Video glitch. That's crazy. Well, it's because I exit out and go back into it so quick that probably doesn't even lose a beat.
Doesn't even lose a Mega Man helper.
Yeah. So what else should I play?
Some more soup. Hmm.
I feel like at least once before the stream is over, since we are advertising this as an SD2 SNES stream.
Oh, we should do MSU1.
We should, yeah.
All right, well, I'll have to turn up the audio a little bit so they can hear it. One of my favorite is the version of Mega Man X3 that has a Genesis style soundtrack.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Lucas is like Radical Dreamers, which would be awesome because how cool is it that there is a Radical Dreamers game, you know?
Yeah, but it's just text. Trident, you're
right. Yes. Boring to watch, but it's definitely interesting.
It's exactly what Suiko Gaiden is. It's the same thing. Visual novel.
How about we do Donkey Kong Country 2, because that will give you a chance to talk about something else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I'll turn up the volume a little bit so they can hear it.
Pump it.
So, Donkey Kong Country, one of the
guests... Hang on,
guests...
Just like, let it play for a second so they can hear the music.
Erica said, is it Hard Knuckle time? All about that Hard Knuckle. I'm ready to hear some stories, try.
Okay, there's a story. There is a story.
Dance at Wise Hype.
Well, get hyped because it is a story, but it's a story. So David Wise was one of the guests at MAGFest this year. I was very excited about that. David Wise is, the main composer for Rare games, you know, all through the 80s, and he is most famous for being the main composer of the Donkey Kong Country series. And he was here from England, and I had ambitions to interview him. I wanted to include him in a future episode that I might have had a place for adding some perspectives from a former Rare developer. And so I had attempted to email him through his website. Never heard a reply. Not necessarily surprising. And then I thought, you know, maybe I'll have better luck going through MAGFest staff. And I emailed the panels guy. I wasn't really sure who to contact. And he forwarded my email along to another staffer, and I got in contact with her. And she said she would, you know, see how, you know, how he would like them to handle, help him, assist him with, you know, interviews or anything of the like. She never really got a direct reply from him. But I was still like, yeah, I'm going to push for this. I'm going to do everything I can to make this happen. And so we went up to the staff operations room on Friday, I believe, to attempt to make progress on this. David Wise didn't have anything scheduled, any scheduled appearances at the con except on Saturday. So I wasn't even sure when he was arriving. And we didn't really make any headway. We talked to some people. They took a phone number. But I was like, you know, I mean, these people are so busy. I, like, totally understand if they... No, don't necessarily look into everything. I mean, they're running a crazy event right now.
Yeah, it was busy.
So I didn't hear back. Not really surprising, but you know, you just have to push for what you want. So Saturday came, went to David Wise's panel. It was great. Got to hear him tell some interesting stories
about Battletoes.
It's funny. He doesn't make the T sound in Battletoads. Yep. He just says Battletoads, you know.
And he always says BTDB for Battletoads Double Dragon.
Yeah. What can I say? Us Americans think British accents are like the most fun thing in the world. But we learned that he did not compose the Battletoads pause theme himself. That was one of the programmers. He had to fess up when someone was praising him for how much he loved the Battletoads pause music.
That was so funny. I'm so glad I went with you to that.
Yeah, shortly after that, I obviously he left right away, and you know, he would have been swarmed by fans otherwise. So I didn't want to be pushy with him directly. So after that, I went back to MAGFest staff operations, and I had to wait around probably, I'm guessing, 40, 45 minutes. But I finally met up with the MAGFest staffer that I had initially emailed with, and she said, she may have not even run into him at that point or had a chance to meet him or anything. That's the impression I got. And, I like I say, obviously they've been very busy, but she said, you know, I was thinking about that recently, thinking like I never heard back from him on that question. And, so she takes my phone number, and I'm thinking, you know, you know, I've done the best I could. I've reached out the best I know how to make this interview happen. And I amazingly enough, at midnight, I'm visiting some other friends who had a room at the Hampton Inn across the street. And at midnight, I get a phone call from the MAGFest staffer, and she says, "I'm standing here next to David Wise." I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, I had given up, you know." And this, like I wasn't at all nervous about the idea of like interviewing him before, but now I'm like, starting to like freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so she says, "I'm just going to hand the phone to him," and he picks up the phone and goes, "Hi, Mark." and so I'm like, "Hey," and so I just sort of explain, you know, I said, we were interested in shooting a video interview, and you know,
this is the best music in the game, is hot whatever it is, the one that plays during the
Really? I mean, most people would say it's the Bramble Bush stuff.
I know, I feel like this is like, I love the build up, and it gets
That was one of the most interesting answers where he just pointed out, like, they were asking him about specific tracks, and what did he say, Try?
He was just like, he said that the programmers and creative directors mostly came from levels. He doesn't even level with the track names. He doesn't even know what they're called. He's like, "Oh, I just call that one DKC2 water level."
Yep.
And it's funny because apparently the Sticker Brush Symphony, which is by far, I would guess, his most popular tune he's ever done, or at least most praised, he said he actually wrote it as a water level theme, and they didn't have a place for it. And the type of level that it would have fit didn't exist in Donkey Kong Country 2. There are underwater levels, but they were sort of a different sort of environment. Mm. And he said that in the last several weeks before the game had to ship, they were putting together these Bramble levels, and they're like, "Do you have any music that would fit this?" So he's like, "Oh, well,
here's the thing."
So yeah, it's crazy. It was actually intended for water levels. So anyway, I'm talking to David Wise on the phone, and I, you know, between, you know, talking on a cell phone and admittedly being a little nervous and British accent and trying to decipher, I didn't quite understand what he said. I'm like, "I'm sorry, I didn't catch all that." So he said something about he was going to head down to the bar in the atrium to get some drinks. And I said, you know, I can be there with my gear within 20 minutes. And so I left the hotel across the street, went over, got my gear, met up with Corey. We head down to, the atrium. There is a sports bar down there, but we're like, I don't think this is what he meant. So we look around there. He's not there. Tons of people there. It wouldn't have made any sense for him to be there anyway, because he would have been swamped by fans.
Easily.
And so we go up to the more, there's like a classy bar attached on the first floor above the atrium, attached to the sort of check-in area. We're like, this is where he would be. We're pretty sure this is what he meant. And I called the staffer back on my phone and tried to confirm with her. And she said, she sort of admitted, "Well, I wasn't entirely paying attention to what he said when he was talking to you. But I know that's where he meant." And she said, "And I'm going to be meeting up with him again later. So, you know, if somehow you don't meet up, you know, we'll try and make something happen." And we wait, and Corey even checks the bar that's on the top floor to see if maybe he's there. And we can't find him. He doesn't show up. We run to the staffer again. She comes there, and I say, "Oh, you know, hey, you know, you said you were we haven't found him. You said you were meeting up with him later. When is that? Because I'm just trying to find out when should I expect a response?" And And she said, well, now is later. So that was, she was expecting to meet up with him somehow. And I'm kind of confused exactly what was she, what maybe has something to do with having us and him do the interview. I don't know. So she's like, okay, who would know where he is? And she finally thinks, okay, I think I don't know who she called, but she called someone and she got a room number, and it's like on the 7th floor in the farthest possible point. And so we the elevators, of course, on Saturday are ridiculous. We have to wait for a while. We get up on the 7th floor, me, Corey, and the staffer, and we're walking all the way around, and we're like a good ways from the next turn, and we see a person walk by, and I'm not really paying that much attention. She says, "Was that him? I think that was him." I'm like, "What? Huh? I don't know. I didn't really see." And we get there, you know, it's a long walk from where we were to that corner. There's stairs to the left, which is where the person went. And we're like, "Oh no, he may have just gone down the stairs." So we go to the room, which was just a little further. And we go in, and it's just like it was just a bunch of. There were people she knew. I don't know if they were MAGFest guests or volunteers, but he was hanging out of that room. They were playing Donkey Kong Country on the TV, so I don't know what he was doing there, but apparently he was there, and he just left seconds ago. If we had been 20 seconds faster, we would have bumped into him. And he had just left, and we didn't know where he went. And so me and Corey split up. She stayed in the room for a little bit to get information. We split up. She said that he might have gone to one of the jam clinics, which is where people, like, you know, were able to jam their music together. And I ran down there, went down there, checked in with the people in that room. He hadn't been there. And Corey went back down. We thought maybe he was going down to meet us, you know, even though it was really late from when we said. And he wasn't there. And, you know, I texted the staffer a few times again. She said, I was just told he went to bed.
So disappointing. So, I mean, it's disappointing, but I mean, there's nothing. We did everything we could.
It was, you know, it made for a good story, I guess. But I think
so, yeah.
And so I asked her, I said, "Do you have any other ideas? Are you going to meet up with him again?" She said her best guess was, you know, maybe you could try to get the hotel desk to call his room. You know, they wouldn't give you his room number, but, you know, try to see if you can get in contact with him that way. Because they had a hard time getting in contact with him because he's got an English cell phone.
Yeah.
And, you know, so his service is, you know, he's not able to he's obviously a little disconnected right now. And so I don't know what happened. I feel like, you know, he probably had a few drinks and just didn't realize quite what he had agreed to do.
Maybe. Hey, that's magical.
Or he saw you with your camera and tripod and he's like, "Oh, I don't want to be on camera."
Yeah, he thought it was a written interview.
Sometimes people are confused. I always use the word video interview to try to let people be prepared. I mean, I understand, you know. I mean, it was funny in the panel. He said, you know, one person was like, "I'm so nervous to be talking to you." He's like, "Well, not as nervous as I am. I'm from a big group of people and I don't really talk to people."
Yeah, he said he's not. This is not who he is. This is not what he does.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be a very low-key, you know, quiet sort of dude.
That's pressing.
But, you know, so anyway, you know, I did try before we left, you know, to call, and they said, you know, no one's answering. He's not answering the phone in his room. And I checked with the staffer, you know, any chance you've run into him, any last-minute chances, and said, "Nope, I have not seen him." So I said, "Well, thank you for all your efforts. Maybe we can organize something in the future." So, you know, we'll find someone to talk to at next MAGFest. But, you know, I can't say I didn't try my best.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm disappointed, but I'm not, like, depressed about it. You know, it didn't happen. So what else can you do? You know, but I tried my hardest, and I can live with myself because I tried my hardest.
Yes.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
That's the way interview chasing go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I could talk to some of my coworkers who, you know, worked in TV news, and I'm sure they can tell plenty of stories like that, but I bet they weren't chasing someone that, you know, was in their minds as, you know, much of an important person to talk to as I think David Wise is, you know? Mm-hmm. But, hey, you know, it was, you know, you win some, you lose some, and, you know, that's, you know, if I ever had a chance to talk to him again, I'd try to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my favorite part of the game right here. This guy, like, there's that quick shot of that guy's face as he screams when you, like, go through the hotel. Just, like, it's like a 2-second shot. Like, or it's like a half a second.
Wait, so I didn't realize this Super Nintendo...
That's my, like, my favorite part of the game. Did you see what I was talking about?
I just saw it. This is great. I didn't realize this was, like, the whole game. I thought it might have just been, like, the opening.
No, it's like the game. Kind of incredible,
this
right?
This is awesome.
Oh, I died.
Is everything like button prompts?
Yes.
Like, so there's no like hidden prompts. It's not like Dragon's Lair.
No. It shows you everything.
How long is it?
It's longer than you expect.
Really?
Yeah, and it gets like really crazy later on. As if it's like, immediately.
It looks like you're redoing a part. Like, do you have like lives and retries? Or?
Yes, yeah. Oh, see, I did it again. It's like that, and it's two button prompts at the same time. I won't mess it up again.
I won't mess it up again.
It's an amazing game.
I'm scrolling back up the chat a bit, and I see Tony Morrow says, Tri said in a tweet that he felt the Retro Pry had lag. Just as an FYI, Corey and I both use the Twitter account, so, you know, don't necessarily make any assumptions about which one of us it was. Corey is actually the one who got the Retro Pry.
We should really just start signing our name at the end. If we just put our actual, like, since it doesn't count anymore, if you put your, oh, darn it, I died again. If you put your a Twitter handle, like it doesn't count towards the amount of characters anymore.
Characters, right?
Yeah. Maybe we should make a system. We do that on YouTube comments, but we never have for Twitter. If it's Facebook though, always Corey. I don't even know the first thing about Facebook. but Twitter, I enjoy a good twit.
So, Trey, have you ever seen this far in the game before?
Oh, no. I don't know how much I want to pay attention because, I got it. Let me take a look at this manual. I haven't really looked at it yet. What is this? Free video game entry. What is this?
I don't know.
Free video game entry. I can send it to Renovation Products. I didn't realize it was Renovation.
What was Tony Morrow saying about the RetroPie?
Something about you saying that it has lag.
It definitely has lag. I've talked to somebody else who is like has a whole bunch of like hacks that you can do to help. So I'll be investigating that. I'm thinking about hacking my NES Classic after the stream though tonight. See how that goes.
Mm. Oh wow! So there's I'm looking in the at the Road Avenger manual, and there's like a lot more prompts than I'm just seeing left and right prompts. I think on your screen, right?
No, it's left and right in brake and turbo.
Okay, so yeah, there's A button is turbo, B button is brake, and C button is the same as A. So there's basically four functions, and sometimes you have to do them simultaneously.
Right.
I mean, this looks amazing. I'm really glad I got it.
And you know what? In the Sega CD version has like the intro. The song is in the intro is only on the Sega CD version. It exists nowhere else in this world. Seriously, you can't even. You can't get like a clean version without sound effects or anything. Like, it doesn't exist.
Wow, that's insane. So, what other systems is it available for? Obviously, the Super Nintendo version is a bit of a port or hack.
Yeah, that's based on the arcade version. The arcade version was like a Laserdisc Dragon
Slayer. Oh, okay. Okay. So
it was probably on something else. Like, maybe it was like on Laser Reactive or something.
Was it released on Laserdisc for home play?
I don't think so. It's probably on something like random, like the Laser Active or something. I'm not sure. It's a Data East game. Let's see. I gotta pee. I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh. Man, so if there's one thing you grab, what would you say is you're most excited about?
I am absolutely super excited about the SD F1 Grand Prix game. Like, I'm because you and I are both big fans of the Super NES Mario Kart.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've always felt that way, that there's not a racing game that's similar that has stood up to it, I guess. Now, we also like Stunt Race.
Uh-huh. But not a lot of people don't care for it these days, but, you know, I can pop that game in anytime and have a good old little time.
Same here, but it is not a Mario Kart style game.
No, totally different.
Yeah, and that's why. So I've been trying to find. I really have a good feeling. I think this one might be close. I don't think it'll beat it, but I think it could be on par. Because obviously the licensed Nintendo characters also help make that game. But it is also just an awesome game. So I mean, I'm gonna put it in my very recently modded SNES Mini, my RGB modded Mini, and play it on the PVM. I'm going to use my converter. I think I'm excited. I'm excited to try it.
Yes. So what? This is playing the PlayStation intro on Chrono Trigger. Crazy. So you said that game is sort of related to some other games. Is that right?
Yes, it is related to the F1 Grand Prix series, which is a typical Formula One racing game that started, I think, on the Super Famicom, and it was originally a top-down view. You know, those top-down view games, kind of like the Micro Machines games, but there were a ton of those on the Famicom as well, because that was just like, you know, how do you make a racing game? Oh, you show above the track, right?
And then I was a little confused, because when you said that before, when you said F1, I thought you were referring to what I think is just called F1 Race.
Which is different.
Which is an old Nintendo game on the Famicom, one of the very early ones for the Famicom, I want to say. And I'm pretty positive it didn't come out here. I'm right?
Yeah, I believe you are correct.
So,
really quick, I see that people are asking about the Chrono Trigger here. John Miller, I just use Smoke Monster's kit. The thing is with Chrono Trigger, it has like the additions like of the anime intro from the PS1 version, but they did kind of a workaround where instead of just like giving out, it uses a symphonic suite, like the official square, and they have like a ripping utility that you have to like buy the CD and like make the soundtrack yourself. So they it's like kind of a good way to do it. Like, you know,
that's definitely interesting. Yeah. You know, something that always was weird to me about the FMVs and Chrono Trigger is that, at least in the PS1 version, I assume it's the same, how they're implemented here. When the cutscene plays, like, it, like, parts of the cutscene that would happen normally with the Super Nintendo graphics plays out either before or after the FMV, and it's like some of the action happens twice, you know? It's sort of a little weird. Though I remember, I mean, it is kind of cool that they added those scenes in the middle of the game, because I remember being a little disappointed that, like, you know, Final Fantasy V and VI and games like that didn't have mid-game FMVs. You know, it was just the beginning, end, and I think Final Fantasy VI at least had, like, a bonus FMV that doesn't play either at the beginning or the end. You can just check it through the unlockables menu.
Hang on,
all the stuff is were interesting.
Let me just play the I love the menu music from for Secret of Mana. It, like, it's a slow guitar build up. we listened to this at your house when it, like, slowly builds up.
I sort of remember it. You know, the Secret of Mana, this screen, like, weirds me out. Like, something is so off about that background, and I can't put my finger on it. It almost looks 480i, but I don't think it is. Like, something is just so off about it. It looks like, I don't know, something about it just looks high res. There's just some, I feel like there's just some sort of visual trick. Something playing tricks on me. I can't figure it out. It's just that background weirds me out.
Mm-hmm. It's because it looks like ugly, that's why.
I love Secret of Mana. Dave, you ever played through Secret of Mana?
Nope, it's on my my look for list and didn't see a single.
It is
copy.
A really, really good game, and I think you'd like it.
And I would love it, but it's very, very expensive.
What's it up to these days?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't even know. I didn't even see it at the convention. But it's got to be more than Kirby Dream Land 3.
More than that? Are you serious?
I have a feeling. And I'm hooked on it. I'm hooked on a feeling that it's more expensive. Let's see. Let's check the
other one. I mean, you know what? I mean, it's kind of crazy because, come to think of it, I can't think of having really seen a copy in the stores recently. I mean, I got mine, I would guess, probably around the year 99 or 2000. And, you know, I mean, I want to say I probably. 80. Oh, I mean, so it's not.
It's not as bad as I thought it was.
It's not prohibitive, but it is unfortunate.
Yeah. You know what it is? It's that old school mindset where, you know, when a game passes 60 and it's loose.
Yeah.
Like, I can justify buying a complete in-box game for 60 because I'm like, well, that's what I would have paid for a complete brand new. So 60 is like, it's kind of like this cap for me. And when you have a game that, like, Kirby's Dream Land 3, that's average 100. But yeah, Secret of Mana, luckily, is cheaper. You know, maybe I should just get that now. But yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah.
60, that 60 mark has always been my kind of gauge.
Yeah, I feel like I paid like 20 something for it.
Oh, could you imagine? That would be awesome.
I probably paid like 45. Sure. Complete in box, but this was like, the game was
wild.
It was a year old probably when I got it. I got it from a store called Zappers.
Sounds made up.
Yeah, it's like a Western New York thing. Zappers, you could go in there and it's like a game store, but you could pay 50 cents to play a game for an hour, any game you want in the store.
Now, Reggie did point out that RPGs were more expensive back in the day.
Right.
Which is true, but yeah, me, it's more that I'm saying, like, really any game, not just RPGs. Like, I kind of have that $60, because even nowadays, if you buy a new game, 60 is usually what you're looking at, and that's where it's hard for me to break past
but
that
$60.
Listen to this. This song is amazing. It makes it seem like it's like rock opera. It's like Rush is doing the soundtrack for Secret of Mana. At the beginning it was, at least.
But you know, Dave, you are known to get the collector's editions of many games, so...
Okay, well, that is true, but...
You don't always pay 60.
No, but they are brand new. Well, actually, yeah. But but I only do that. I only buy collector's editions of new games when they are Amazon Prime, because the discount.
Yeah,
yeah, so that
getting 20% off, it's like I'm barely paying more.
That makes an insane difference. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, Amazon's crushing it.
Now, I'm looking at this Kirby Superstar Stacker, or Kira Kira Kids.
Oh, what do we got?
It says copyright 1997, 1998, 1999. So I need to do some research. I want to say that this first came to Satellaview, or I don't know if Satellaview was even still in operation at that time. It may have just been the rewritable cartridge kiosks that they had, which I believe was called Nintendo Power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of funny, yep, given what we know Nintendo Power as. Mm-hmm. And I assume that also means that the cartridge was made in 99, but I need to research to confirm those facts. But I believe a very similar situation happened with Fire Emblem Thracia 776, which is also a very rare cartridge. That, you know, that game was first released for the Nintendo Power service, and then I want to say it's the year 2000 that it got a normal Super Famicom physical release. So I mean, so crazy to think about Super Famicom games being released in 1999 and 2000.
Yeah, it's more support lasted longer, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, PlayStation 1, NES, very similar, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just realized, as I didn't talk about my other pickups, but I'll do it after we are done playing a little bit more games.
Okay.
You know, my magazines that I got.
Oh!
That I didn't talk about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Forgot about it.
You're most excited about some of that.
Yeah. Sonic the Bulldog.
Yeah, exclusive Sonic the first Bulldog.
Look. Everybody's favorite Bulldog.
Let's see what we got here.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I know.
Tired.
Dave, we could play some Star Ocean. Just leave it on the title screen for a while. How's that sound?
Sure. Does that have good music?
I'm kidding.
Yeah, that was Retroware memories.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's some good translations, though. I have like a whole several translations. Like, you know what I should do? I'm just going to play some Final Fantasy V translation. Just so we can see butts. So we can see butts.
Final Fantasy V, so good. Let's see some butts.
This was like one of my first experiences with emulation. I actually had a line in the episode where I talked about Final Fantasy V, the translation, and how that was like one of my, like, it was like kind of a big moment, I think, for a lot of people with the possibilities.
Did you play through this before it came out on PS1?
I played through to get the dragon. Not very far.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's like, I'd guess that's maybe like a sixth or maybe an eighth of the game.
Yeah.
It's like
at the time, I was in college at that point. Like, that was like, I mean, it would have been like, I was in college, I'm pretty sure. Because because Anthology came out a year after.
Anthology came out the same year as Final Fantasy VIII. It came out like, I want, maybe even the same month.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it was September 99.
So I think that the translation.
That's my memory. That's my memory.
You're right, because I was going to, I was at my 4-year school at that point.
And that first release had the little like music selections disc, yep, in it. And I think the later ones took it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I but you know, I got mine sometime later.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not been the same year. I mean, you know, years seemed long back then.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that you can, like, get Anthology Brand New still for, like, 10, 12 bucks or something.
And you know it's a silverback CD.
That's insane.
Yeah, the Square Enix re-releases, the greatest hits ones. But, I mean, so if you really wanted it, you can still freaking buy it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
For a PlayStation game, you know?
But 5 is, like, known to, like, not to glitch up on the... at least the initial release glitched up on PS2s.
Now, see, I've heard that, and that's what...
I think they fixed it with the...
I never had that issue on my PlayStation 2 when I played it.
Yeah, it. What happens is... when you go into the save menu, sometimes it's just junk. And normally, if I recall, you can just back out of it and try again if it comes up junky. But on the PS3, instead of junk, it can just lock up and freeze.
Really?
See, I never had that issue with 5 on my fat PS2.
Well, you're lucky. But it's definitely a game to play on an actual PS1 if you can.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, poo-poo the heck out of Final Fantasy V on PS1. And, you know, I've got a lot of love for it because, I mean, that was the first official way to play that game. I mean, that was huge. I don't care if the translation is a little bit flawed. I don't care if the music is, a bit compressed sounding. I don't care if there's a little bit of loading times before the battle. I mean, you got to play the frickin' game on your TV. And that was grand.
Yeah, and it was my first experience with the game, and I loved it.
Hello?
I showed my daughter the owl, and she was like, watched it for like 5 minutes straight.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Oh, stop
so
it.
Good. The owl?
Oh, so last night when everybody went to bed, Corey and I were reminiscing about a couple of really solid vines that were created as Vine is going away. That's probably why you heard us giggling like
squirrels. Yes, I did.
Keeping you awake. But let me tell you, Corey, was it worth it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to. I'll send them to you and try.
Send me the links. I missed them.
Oh, man, they're... Oof. It's the girl who, they spill water on her, and she just doesn't even react to the water and just wakes up.
Hello?
It's funnier when you see it.
Yeah, because they pour so much water on her face, and she does, like, not move at all.
Hello?
Like, I would freak out and think I was drowning if somebody did that to me. Oh, the Mode 7, so good.
Yeah.
Love it. Except for the end where you see just a couple of giant green shade squares.
Oh, when it's so close.
Yeah, when it gets all the way in, it's just like boop, 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 boop. Yeah, I remember the first time I fell in love with this game, like within the first 10 minutes, I was just like, what? I love it.
See, for me, it was coming back to this after playing 6, and I was kind of like, it was less exciting.
I can see
that
being tough, you know.
For, you know, it's like just so for an 18-year-old, it
so
was.
So happy and fun.
Yeah, I can understand that. And, you know, I love the name Butts now. But I was like, at the time, I was like, Butts?
Yeah, see, really? And I knew Barts. It was always Barts when I played. Because
yeah.
I
think Barts sounds stupid. I like the name Butts.
Yeah, Butts is better. But
I love Butts.
I mean, I've always preferred Barts myself, but I want to say in the PS1 version, there is no default name that comes up.
Right, you put in your name.
Here comes.
I'm not sure about this version.
Let me double check. I'm sure.
Please decide on a name. Butts. There it is.
It defaults to Butts. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, but because if I remember, the PlayStation version has no default in there. So I actually didn't know when a friend first got the game, he didn't know that I don't remember what he named him, but he didn't know. So I remember later hearing that, apparently the name is Barts. Maybe it was in the manual. I don't know. So when I played the game, I named him Barts, and so he's always been Barts to me. And I always thought Butts, you know, of course, like you, I thought Butts is really stupid. And I do think it's really stupid, but I also think it's kind of hilarious and awesome, too. So I don't think I would ever play through the game with him being named Butts, but...
Yeah, I mean, his real name is Dave. Every time I played it was always Dave, so, I mean...
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, because people hate on the PS1 version so much, you know, I think most people prefer the name Lena to Reyna, but I've always preferred Reyna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try, there's somebody has a question. Looks like it's a Framemeister question.
Nope.
Matt, question about the Framemeister. Does each system need to be set up to size and locate on the TV? I use a sling box? I'm not sure what you're saying.
Is that sending change the horizontal and vertical position
each time I change systems? Okay, so first of all, you should just do a Google search for Pixel Purist, and you will find FrameMeister profiles that you can download. Those are an extremely good starting point. I prefer the 5X profiles when possible, but the 4X profiles are also very good. And depending on your setup, those profiles may not be exactly centered in your TV. They'll be close, but won't be exactly centered. You can go into the zoom controls and change the horizontal and vertical positioning in the zoom controls. That's where I recommend changing the positioning, not in the other menus. In the zoom controls, change the horizontal and vertical positioning there. I'm mostly only change the horizontal. But then you can save those settings. You can save them on the FrameMeister. You can save those settings. You can overwrite the versions that you download from the Pixel Purist. And they'll all be in the ballpark of the correct area of the space, but they won't be exactly centered most likely. But you can adjust them to suit your screen as best as possible. And save that. So you can load the settings, you know, load up to 20 settings can be displayed from the SD card, I think, and you can load those and have your positioning all exact and stuff. Also, what the heck are you playing?
I'm playing Bobby's World.
Bobby! different Bobby. That's a little Howie Mandel action.
there are Brazil exclusive Super Nintendo games.
It just says Brazilian games. Maybe they're just different.
Yeah, I mean, I know that like Sega stuff was huge in Brazil. Like, I almost wonder if those are like fan ports of like some of those Brazilian Sega games, or if they could be Super Nintendo games. I've never heard anything about Brazilian gaming that wasn't Sega-related.
I don't know. That's just something that came with this stuff. But I like that there's this option for, like, the years. It separates them out, like, 91, 92, 93. So you can kind of see what each... It has the release dates for everything. Like, ActRaiser 2 came out on 11/16/93. You know what? I wonder if it's the in-hook stuff that it's like the in-hook or in-game hook is what people said is sometimes what causes the issues with like glitches. But I wonder if that just makes it so I can't back out. Whatever.
We have a request for Pocky and Rocky. Maybe you could try Pocky and Rocky 2. I've never seen the second one.
Sure, let's do that.
Yeah, do it.
I went into MAGFest like ready to really splurge on one game, and I was like, I'd love to see the Super Famicom version of Pocky and Rocky 2 because it is expensive, but it's definitely less expensive than the American version. And I, you know, so I thought, you know, probably like $100, but I was like, but I'm going to just treat myself to one really expensive game.
Treat yourself.
You know, and this is a Natsume game. I wonder if we'll see. They're kind of on a roll lately.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. They've been making some very surprising retro revivals that have been very high quality. You know, you've got the River City Tokyo Rumble on the 3DS, and you've got Wild Guns Reloaded on PS4, from which what I've tested so far is amazing, and I'm going to play through that at my earliest convenience.
I'm just going to skip the lesson, get into the main game.
The world map looks very similar to
the first game.
The first game, yeah. Do you need a lesson? Of course you don't need a lesson.
Well, I might. I should have done it. I'm not in the interest of time.
You know, every once in a while I'm seeing like a little bit of just a small hit on the video. Like, it's not losing sync totally, but I just see, like, a small hit, and I haven't noticed it until you started this game.
Huh. Mm. Oh.
Little Ninja. Bomber Bob.
Yeah, I know.
You got Bomber Bob.
Bobby. Bomber Bobby.
Bomber? Bomber. Bomber Bob.
Bobby.
Ooh, that's like really my favorite thing. That's...
When you play the first game single player, I don't recall you having a partner. Whoa, that is a pixel explosion, and I love it.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's like you know, it's like I could only make this really tiny explosion. It's like we'll just expand it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
They made it was like a 4x4. Like we'll just
blow it up.
I love that stuff. I really do.
This is a really expensive game. This is like probably like a $200-$300 game now, isn't it?
Yeah. But the Japanese version does not appear on eBay, at least American eBay, very often at all. But you know, it's like $100, possibly a little more. But I really want it. The first game is a lot of fun. Well, I say the first game. The first one on Super Nintendo. There's also a GBA game called Pocky and Rocky with Becky.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it like a remake of or a combination of the games?
It kind of looks more like the arcade game, which doesn't look as much fun. And the Famicom Disk System port is based on... It's based on the arcade version. But yeah, I watched a video of Pocky and Rocky with Becky, which is amazingly enough on the Wii U eShop.
Really?
Yeah, for GBA. I mean, Natsume's released like a lot of virtual console games that you would not necessarily have expected. It's kind of cool. But yeah, I want to say that was it didn't look as, you know, vibrant and lively as the Super Famicom games.
Rabbit ears.
Games just have this a very appealing look and feel to them. But you know, I'm saying that, you know, without really being able to, you know, without having fairly evaluated the arcade or Famicom Disk System or GBA games. And I think there might be other ports and releases, but from what I've seen, the Super Nintendo games by far look the most appealing and fun.
I'm just going to be
okay.
Boss.
Toro Gorgo says that the arcade version is on Taito Legends 2 for PS2.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah. You should try it out. The Japanese versions of this series is called Kiki Kai Kai, in Japan. And
which is a pretty good name, I think.
It is a good name. I do kind of prefer it to Pocky and Rocky. It's just more fun to say Kiki Kai Kai.
Yeah. I'm just trying to beat this little boss, and then I'm gonna back out. I'll show the magazines, and we'll call it a night. I'm fading fast. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm ready to call it a night.
It was a long weekend, but it went quick.
Dave, you're taking the day off tomorrow, aren't you?
Oh yeah. Well, actually, it's funny. A couple hours ago, I got a call from work. They canceled school tomorrow. So.
Oh, because of the snow. Was it that bad? Is it that bad?
Yeah, the back roads are really bad, so they didn't get to plow them. So yeah, but
you saved that personal day then, don't you?
Unfortunately, no, I didn't, because in Delaware, at least, if unless it's a state of emergency, teachers are still to report.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Or you can choose to make it up at the end of the year as a teacher after the students finish their school year. So it's like, I ain't making it up at the end of the year.
I just found out that my work is on a 2-hour delay tomorrow.
Oh, look at you getting a
sleep. Even though it's really not that bad here, but that's, you know, that's just how North Carolina is. We're, you know, we're total wusses with winter weather. There was, you know, on the way home, I did stop for gas in this super nowhere town. And zero effort had been made to do anything for the roads there. So, yeah, it was... The gas station was all ice.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll keep my personal day in and just stay home. That way I don't have to make it up at the end of the year and I don't have to go in tomorrow. So
all right. Really quick, I want to show this is something I totally forgot about. So I was kinda looking, it was the second night, I think, or the end of the first day. And some new stuff were coming out of the vendors, like they had some stuff, because they try to add stuff each day so that it gets keep people coming back. And the Mad Gear vendor added some old game magazines. And I was like, oh, that's cool, it's cool. It's like mainly like Nintendo Power. Then I kind of dug through a little bit, and I found a couple of issues of EGM, and two specifically that I specifically remember getting. And so there's a videotape, and I think I showed it in one episode. I don't remember what episode it was, though. And it's a shot of me reading a magazine. It's my brother's 17th birthday. So that's like August 26th. It would have been August 26th, 1991.
Was it Namco on the Genesis?
No. No, this is more recent than that.
Oh, okay.
And they had the magazine that I wanted. That I was reading in that episode, and it is this one right here, the reveal of the Mega CD. Can you imagine being a Sega kid? The Super Nintendo had just come out, and then it's like the Mega CD.
Wow!
And also in the upper hand corner, it has an exclusive look at Sonic the Bulldog.
And so you have to go through the page, and then there it reveals a bit of history. I mean, this could be one of the main sources for some of the known history of Sonic, of the design process that led to Sonic. It could be one of the main resources for that, as far as I know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Look at these screenshots of Lunar. I mean, I'm looking at these screenshots as a kid. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. I cannot believe this. This has like reviews of, what did they review this month? So the Super Nintendo had just come out. And Game of the Month was ActRaiser. It got 4 9s.
Wow.
And just below that was Shatterhand, which got 4 8s.
Great game.
And you know, I think you always think it's so weird that I call Link to the Past Zelda 3. But that's because that's what magazines called it all the time.
Mm.
You know, it even says it right here. It says, Zelda 3 is his main project, though, right now. He likes the quest-type games the best. Talking about, like, different... Talking about Ed. Like, the... He's probably Ed Samrad. Like, one of the main... Steve Harris and Ed Samrad. Were the... And a Martin Alessi. It's like the main people. But this did have Sushi X. Sushi X was a thing in EGM, even at this early point. What else did they review? They reviewed Base Loaded 3, Super R-Type, Pilot Wings, Super Volleyball, which that's for the Genesis. It's a side-scrolling, horizontally viewed volleyball game.
Mm.
It's not a Kunio game, even though it shares the same name. The first NHL hockey, Parasol Stars for the TurboGrafx-16, which is a Working Designs game.
Yeah, that makes it definitely noteworthy.
I have it. I have Parasol Stars. Castlevania 2 for the Game Boy, which got 4/8. And Turbo Sub for the Atari Lynx. Turbo Sub.
Turbo Sub.
So this is, I think I might be the most excited about getting this than anything else. This specific magazine. And
then, you got another.
And then the other one I got was EGM from February 1992. So it's only a few months after that one. But I mean, look at this. Look at these scan lines.
Yeah. Do you remember looking at that cover and like thinking about the scan lines, or you just didn't think about that much?
I didn't think about the scan lines. I thought about like, wow, that looks so good, you know. I remember buying this magazine specifically at Walden Books in the at the mall in Warren, Pennsylvania.
I remember Walden Books. There was another similar store, and I think they merged at some point. What was it called? I feel like it started with a W also, but I can't remember.
Hmm.
Like Walden Books, and there was another one of those just very common mall bookstores.
Borders or something?
No, not Borders, you know. Borders and Barnes & Noble were kind of, you know, the outside of a mall. It was just one of those in-the-mall bookstores. Walden Books, yeah, I remember that. There was another, though, and I just can't remember it.
So game of the month here was Sonic the Hedgehog for the Game Gear.
Wow.
For the whole month.
Runner-up was Smash TV on the Super NES. Oh, Mega Man 4 is in here, too. Got 4/8.
Nice.
And TMNT 3 is in here as well.
Wow.
Each version of the Turtles, Mega Man, seems to get better and better.
What do they say about Mega Man 4? Do they comment on like this charge shot being some sort of innovation?
It says, well, you could say that this game is just another Mega Man adventure. The attention to detail that Capcom is pumping into the series just keeps getting better. There are new surprises, and the graphics have reached a new height. This title is an 8-bit safe bet that should appeal to both old and new Mega Man fans.
See, that's really cool. That's really cool that they're like so positive about it, even though like at that time you would think that most people would be like pooping on 8-bit stuff. Like, it's like, you know,
right?
But it's like, it's cool that they're like, you know, hey, this is like impressive for what it's made on.
Right. Capcom definitely has a winner in the Mega Man series. After three titles, I would think that they would move on to the Super NES, but they took a bold step and created another great NES title. The worst problem with Mega Man 4 is that some of the weapons and bosses are recycled from the previous games. I mean, they probably just function the same way, right?
Yeah.
Let's see what else there is.
No, the other bookstore was not Walgreens. Walgreens is
drugstore.
Drugstore,
right? They're everywhere.
Wonder Boy 5 is in here.
What?
It's Wonder Boy Monster World.
Oh,
these SOBs gave it a 6, 7, 5, and 7.
These SOBs.
they are garbage to me forever.
Yeah. I'm not into Wonder Boy games, and this cart is not that exciting to me. That's the guy who gave it a 5.
Garbage!
The graphics are cool, and the sound is good, but the gameplay is kind of boring and offers very little action. I just didn't find this cart exciting enough, and I would rather play Super Adventure Island on the SNES. The weapons are neat, though. What?
I like how they use this term. I found this cart not exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
This cart.
Then the person, you know, like after the five, then the other person below it comes back and, you know, like they're like, whoa. And it's like the next person opens his statement with, I really liked Wonder Boy 5. It reminds me of games like Ease. Like Ease 3, though targeted at kids. Oh,
the people in the chat have come to my rescue. It's B. Dalton Booksellers. That's what I was thinking of. Everyone else remember Dalton Books?
No.
Dalton?
No.
Never.
No, seriously?
Yeah, I don't know that.
Like Dalton and Chrono Trigger didn't make you think of the bookstore? No? No?
No.
No one remembers Dalton and Chrono Trigger, do they?
Remember Dalton.
So Sonic on the Game Gear, 8999. So they probably felt like they liked
a Game Gear game. I mean, not to poop on the Game Gear, but they like Sonic on the Game Gear more than Wonder Boy and Monster World.
Yeah.
I can't trust these people anymore.
Probably the coolest thing about the old EGMs is the Quarterman, the gaming gossip section, which is just like a page. It's like four or five paragraphs. And a lot of times he just like says stuff that like never came like around. You know, it's like the incredible new Contra 4 for the Super NES is really not going to be Contra 4 at all. That's because Contra 4 is now Contra 3. Even though with the release of Contra Force, it should be Contra 5. Oh. Anyway, the subtitle on this one is Contra 3, The Alien Wars. Beware of imported Mega CDs. Those rascally folks at Sega are rumored to have a secret plan that will encode each CD disc, making machines from different countries unable to read from discs from another.
Hmm. You know, like it would have, back in those days, it would have been such a hassle to get a game from another country that I just don't even know why they bothered with region protection. Like, what did it accomplish?
I don't know. But there's a whole one-page thing about Sega adding the protection circuitry to the Genesis, about the TMSS.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, it's cool being able to have, like, something written about it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on, I'm just gonna go through. I love old EGMs. I'm gonna start buying more of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? If you know like what month or year or sort of general time frame to look for something in, if you're looking for like some really specific piece of gaming history or some, you know, sort of reference for what the frame of mind was at the time, you know, having that in a physical magazine sometimes is so much easier to research it than trying to find it online.
Yeah,
because you know, I was looking through some of my Nintendo Powers. Most of my magazines are Nintendo Power, so I don't have as wide of a range to search through. But I mean, I was pulling some off the shelf last week and doing a little research, so.
I should make it a point just to, like, just go on eBay and buy some old magazines.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Woof.
All right. Is that gonna so, wrap it up for us?
We did it.
We did it.
I don't know what we're doing next week. I just need to take a minute. You're working on an episode, but I mean, you just need to take a day or two to not.
Yeah, I probably won't get anything done on my episode tomorrow. Hopefully, it will not be an episode that takes an extreme amount of work. Hopefully we'll release this weekend. I'm not going to guarantee Friday or nothing like that, but hopefully it will release this weekend.
Yep, that's the idea.
Hopefully. Not a promise.
But Dave, you've got something hopefully coming soon, right?
Yeah, I'm going to try to. There's no guarantee because you never know. There's no guarantees with the video stuff. But Mega Man 6 came out the first week of January. Hoping to start 2017 on a solid foot with Clarks on them. But yeah, I really want to try to do 2 videos a month from now on, and I think it should be doable. But next up is Fami Corner. Working on that, so we'll see how it goes.
You don't want to give away what you're working on, right? I mean, what the subject is.
No, we'll let that be a surprise.
Okay. All right. Well.
All righty.
I'm gonna go to bed.
Yeah, me too. Probably soonish.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching, and we will see you soon.
See you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Later.